It's taken us almost 90 weeks to reach Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 and 22, but nevertheless, we've arrived there this morning. And in a sense, our sole purpose in looking together at these two verses is that every one of us here this morning might learn the lessons of Tychicus. We're to learn the lessons of Tychicus this morning, because we're going to look together at him and what's said about him in these two verses right at the end of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Now these two verses, verses 21 and 22, seem a long way indeed from the great heights, the sublime theology that we've been looking at in the previous six chapters. We've been looking at that which is deep and profound, and now we come to effectively a Bible study on a little known character. We've looked at the fact that God blesses his people in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We've looked at the fact that we've received redemption in Christ, the forgiveness of our sins. We've looked at the glorious truth that though once the Christian was dead in their trespasses and sins, God has made them alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. A great truth. We've seen how Paul was appointed to make known the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. We've seen how the Christian is called to walk worthy of their great calling, and that that which unites us together is much and great. We've seen that we're no longer to walk as once we walked, as the Gentiles walked, but we're to walk differently because we are different. We've seen how families are instructed to live. Lately we've been looking at spiritual warfare and how we are to stand by putting on the whole armour of God. And now we come to a character study of a little known saint, right at the very end of the letter. And it seems a little bit bizarre, perhaps, a little bit after the Lord Mayor's show. We seem to have come down from those great heights to Tychicus this morning, but nevertheless, there are some helpful and vital lessons to be learned and to be put into practice this morning from the life of Tychicus. Not least this lesson, that Paul's previous explanation of God's blessed and new society is no mere theological theory. It has practical implications for those who are born again into this new society. The new society, the new humanity in the Lord Jesus Christ has new relationships. And those relationships are to be worked out in distinctive ways which belong to the new society. You see, the one writing this letter, Paul, and those to whom he's writing, the Ephesians, and the one here who is sending to them, Tychicus, they're all members of this new society. They're all blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. They've all been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. They're all to walk worthy of their calling. They're all to put on the whole armour of God. They belong to this new society. And therefore they engage in new relationships which are to be worked out in distinctive ways. And so this morning from these two verses we're going to observe, we're going to learn, and hopefully we're going to imitate Tychicus. The lessons of Tychicus. First of all, who was he? I mean, what do we know about Tychicus? If I brought a postage stamp this morning, we could probably fill the back of it with all we know about Tychicus. We don't know much, do we, about Tychicus. He's little known. A little known character who's referred to in the Bible. I mean, nothing is said of his conversion. We know all about the conversion of the one writing the letter. We read of it in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul. What about Tychicus? How and when was he converted? Well, I'm pretty certain he was converted in Acts chapter 19 when the gospel went to Ephesus, but we don't know the details of his conversion. And no letter was written by him or to him. We don't read a letter greetings from Tychicus. We don't read a letter was sent to him. One was sent to Titus. One was sent to Philemon. One wasn't sent to Tychicus here in the scriptures. We don't even read any words that he said. We don't even read of any miracles which he performed. It's possible that this Tychicus became a later bishop, but we don't know much about him from the scriptures at all. And so you could say, well, why do you devote a whole message to him? What can we learn from him? Well, he's mentioned five times in the scriptures. Five times his name gets a mention. And I want us briefly to build up a picture from those five pieces of the jigsaw. Five pieces of the jigsaw, they come together, and that's what we know about Tychicus. First of all, in Acts chapter 20, we read that he accompanied Paul to go back through Macedonia. Paul had gone to Greece, he wanted to sail to Syria, but he was warned, so he decided to go back to Macedonia, and he was accompanied by a number of people, and one of the people who accompanied him was, first piece of the jigsaw, Tychicus. Marvellous, don't learn much of him from that, do we? But he accompanied Paul. Second, when Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verse 12, he says, I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. So he's accompanied Paul, and then we read in 2 Timothy, Paul had sent him to Ephesus. In Titus chapter 3, and verse 12, Paul says that he's going to send Tychicus to Titus in Crete. So he's accompanied Paul, he's been sent to Ephesus, he's going to be sent to Crete. Here he's being sent to Ephesus by Paul. And if we turned over to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7, we'd find that Paul says, I'm going to send Tychicus to you. There we go. Those are the five pieces of the jigsaw. Accompanied, sent, 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 sent. What kind of picture do we gather there of Tychicus? Well, he seems to have been a man who's at the beck and call of Paul. Two things we read, he's a companion and he's a sent one. He's forever being sent. Mr. Blair, Tony Blair, our former Prime Minister, has a new job. He's a special envoy. Well, Tychicus is a special envoy too. I'm not sure that by that we know that Tychicus was a diplomat, but he certainly was a messaging service. That's what he was, a messaging service. He was sent by Paul, from Paul to others, with messages, with news, with information. That's what we know from our five pieces of the jigsaw about Tychicus, a companion of Paul and a messenger service. Now, what do you think about Tychicus so far this morning? You say, oh, what a high and a grand calling the man had. Or in your heart, you say, what a low-grade existence he must have had. High calling or low-grade existence. That's what we know of Tychicus from those five mentions of him. But the most important thing about Tychicus is this. The descriptions that are given about the man and his character when he is spoken about. And that's where we're going to spend the bulk of the time this morning, on the descriptions of this man. Oh, a companion and a sent one. A messenger service, yes. But what was he like? What was his character? What was his heart? We're going to look at a description of this man, and before we do that, I want to ask you a question. How would you be described? Sometimes I'm asked to give a reference of people. Sometimes you will write references for people too, and you write down what they do, and then you have to write what they're like. If we were looking at a description of you or me this morning, let's just stand back from Tychicus. What would be written about you or me? Some of you know what it is to have a school report written of you. I know it's mostly cut and paste about what things you've learned today. Still, occasionally the teacher will put down something about your character and your behaviour, a description of you. We're going to look at a description of a man this morning, but what would we look at if we looked at in a description of you or of me? What would they say? What five things are the most important things in describing you? What are the five most accurate things in describing you? We're going to look at what was said about Tychicus with a desire we'd stand and say, those are lovely things to be said about anybody. And Lord, by your grace, I want to live a life such that they could be said about me. He's an example, he's a model for us this morning. Say, Lord, forgive me where I don't match up to this description of Tychicus, but by your grace, from this day forward, help me to live a life which could be described in these ways. When we come to the description of Tychicus, I want to look at first things first. The centre of the description about him. The core about this man's life. What's the most important thing about this man, Tychicus? Before we look at it, again, I want you to think. What is the most important thing about you this morning? What's the most important thing about any man, woman, or boy, or girl? Is it their name? Is it their location? Where they live? Where they come from? Is it their height? If Tychicus lived today, he'd probably have the nickname Titch. Don't know what his height was. We don't know what his looks like. We don't know what his ability was. We don't know what his job was. We don't know what his wealth was like. But that's how everybody's being described today in the world in which we live. Those are the things that the world around us says are important. Where we're from, our height, our looks, our ability, our job, our wealth. And we've got to stand against this. And say, well, we recognise that those things are not the most important things. So I mustn't think of myself or other people, first of all, in those terms. They're not the most important things. A tragic case this week up in Liverpool of Rhys Jones, shot at the age of 11. And we all know one thing about Rhys Jones other than his death, don't we? We know that he's an Everton supporter. Well, all sins can be forgiven, but that's what the world says is important today, isn't it? It's what football team you support. You go onto Facebook or other pages and you have to put your name, where you come from on the internet, and what your favourite football team is. It's as though it's the be-all and end-all of life. Well, it's not the be-all and end-all of life. But something else is. And we need to really retrain our minds to see that clearly this morning. You see, we know this man's name was Tychicus. We know he was an Asian. He's described as being of Asia. Three times he's described as being a messenger, but we don't know about his looks and his ability and his wealth, but we do know the most important thing about anybody and about him. And it's that he is described as a brother, verse 21. He's described as a brother. Paul describes him as the same in Colossians 2. He's a beloved brother. You see, and that's what Paul focuses in on. Not what he does, but what he is. And I want to encourage you this morning not to focus on what you do to begin with, but what you are or what you aren't. Because that's the most important thing about anybody who lives on this planet. It's what we are. And Tychicus is described as a brother. What does that mean? He's a brother. Well, he's clearly in somebody's family. That's what a brother is. We've got brothers here this morning. But it's not a blood family. It's not that Tychicus has the same surname, as it were, as Paul the Apostle. He's not in that family with Paul. He's in another family. Tychicus has been adopted. So has Paul. So has every believer here this morning. Because we've already seen in the great theology of Ephesians that Christians are those who've been adopted into God's family. And that's what Paul is saying here about Tychicus. He presumably could have said many things about him, but he focuses on that which is supreme. This man is a brother, which means this man is a Christian. This man is part of the new society. This man has been made alive in Christ when he was dead. We can tie it all back to everything that Paul's already been saying. Those things he's been saying about the new humanity are true for Tychicus. And they're the most important things in the world. Tychicus is in God's family. He's been brought in. He wasn't born in the family. He was born outside the family, as we're all born outside the family. But Tychicus had a new birth, a birth from above. And so he came to know and enjoy in his own heart the forgiveness of sins. What Paul is telling us here is that Tychicus stands in Christ. He's a Christian. He trusts Christ. The emphasis on being a brother is that he's in the Christian family. He belongs to the whole. He shares a family name. Now, do we see the importance of that this morning? That what is vital, what's essential for you this morning, is not how tall you are, not how rich you are, not what your parents are like, not even what grades you've got this week, though many of you have done extremely well, I know. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing this morning is, are you in Jesus' family? Are you on the narrow way now which leads to everlasting life? This phrase which tells us that Tychicus is a brother is not just a passing phrase or an irrelevance. It's the most important description of anyone, in a sense, because it speaks of eternity. You see, if we're in the family, we're going to spend an eternity in bliss with the Lord Jesus Christ, enjoying his favour. And if we're still outside of the family, we are going to know eternal damnation, eternal punishment that we're going to be aware of, feel it consciously forever and ever. So our grades and our looks and our abilities are of secondary importance. What's most important is, are we trusting Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the Mr. A to Mr. Z? And if we are a Christian this morning, have we realised it's the most important thing about us? And we've retrained our minds to relish the fact that we've gained an interest in the Saviour's blood, that we've come to be forgiven our sins. And our bank balance might not look very good, and what we saw in the mirror this morning wasn't very handsome or beautiful, but hey, we're in Christ. And that means more than the world to us, because it means that we're right with God. We've been saved from our sins. We've been forgiven. I want to urge you this morning to be like Tychicus, who was a Christian. I want to urge you to turn from your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. And then, as someone who is in the family, I want to encourage you to see that that's what's vital and essential about you. To be in Christ. What a place to be this morning. To be in Christ, but to be earthly bankrupt. Better to be in Christ. Better to know him ruling and reigning in our hearts this morning. Better to know that he, when he died on that cross, he died to pay the price of my sin. Hallelujah, what a saviour. Second thing we read about Tychicus in the description of him is that he's a beloved brother. A dear brother, the NIV says. It means that Tychicus was precious. It means he was loved by the church. He's a dear brother. He's valued. He's close to the heart of Paul and of others. And that simply tells us this as Christians, that one, we are to be valued by other members of the family. Tychicus was precious. And we're to be precious too, which means for ourselves, we're to love and value our brothers and sisters. When we come to our prayer list every day and we pray for our brothers and sisters in the faith, they're to be precious to us. They're to be of value to us. He was a beloved brother. I trust that when you look round the room this morning, you see your brothers and sisters, and they're precious to you. You're pleased to see them this morning. You've been pleased to pray for them in the past week. You've been pleased to share in their joys and in their sorrows, their triumphs and their disasters. Because they're precious to you. Because they're part of the new humanity. They've been blessed like you in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. See, we're not to be isolated islands, as so many evangelicals are today. There's to be this sense of preciousness one to another. And that means the responsibility on us is to love our brothers and sisters, to esteem them, to value them, to love them. It's the second greatest commandment, Jesus says. Love your neighbour as yourself. It's the new command that he gave to his disciples. You are to love one another. And love is to esteem, is to value, is to value one another, to consider one another beloved. John says it's a test of our genuineness. We cannot say that we love God if we hate our brother. We're to love one another. We're the beloved gathered here this morning. And so minds and hearts should be engaged in finding our brothers and sisters precious. Paul even says that to love one another is a fulfillment of the law. You see, the new humanity isn't just a bunch of individuals. It's individuals who are united together in Christ. The mark of the Christian is that we love. Paul says, without love, we're nothing. And we're clearly to love one another. John even says it makes God's love complete. And by that he means in purpose. His love is given to us that we might love one another. And in function, it might then be complete. And so we're to share that love in action with one another, to esteem one another, to value one another. We've looked before at how the New Testament showed that brothers and sisters were beloved of one another. They shared everything they had. What's Paul doing here? He's sharing Tychicus with the others. Tychicus is a great help to Paul, but he says, well, out of my love to you, I'm going to send him to you to encourage your hearts. You see, not only Tychicus was beloved, but evidently in Paul's heart, the Ephesians were beloved too. We've seen how that love was shown in the giving of money and food and encouragement. What's Paul doing here? He's sending his beloved Tychicus to encourage the beloved Ephesians. He doesn't live in a little island. His saved heart looks outward in love to other believers. We've seen that New Testament loved one another in service and care and hospitality. They spoke to one another to encourage and admonish. What's Tychicus going to do here? He's going to speak to encourage them. We've seen that we're to be beloved because we're to greet one another, accept one another, bear with one another, pray for one another. And all those things are a demonstration of love. That yes, you are my beloved brother. You are my beloved sister. It's not just that you two are a Christian. You're my brother, you're my sister, and you know, by the grace of God, you're my beloved brother or sister. And we're all part of the new humanity. The one baptism, the one faith, the one Lord, the one Spirit. That's what we're seeing here. There's something wrong with the very core of our Christianity. This area is amiss. It needs to be faced, addressed, and overcome. And grace needs to be sought as a matter of urgency. Are your brothers beloved? Or are they people that you tolerate and put up with? In the scriptures, they're beloved brothers and sisters, and we're to be. Secondly, I think there is a second side to that. That he is to be loved as a brother because, well, you can imagine him being loved, can't you? Partly here because of what he did. You know, he's sent, he's obedient, he's willing, he serves. And we ought to live in a manner which makes it easy for us to be beloved, as we demonstrate the love of Christ to others. That's what we see in Tychicus. In the little that we read of him here, he's working out Christ's love. I guess that they saw something of Christ in him. He brought comfort, he brought encouragement. And because of the ministry that some people do have in churches and the manner in which they go about it, we know them as beloved because something of Christ is seen in them. Oh, we're all precious and we're all equal in the sight of God, but we are to love our brothers. But you know, we ought to seek to live in a way which makes it easy for them to love us too. The Gentile churches were particularly thankful for Aquila and Priscilla. They were loved by the church. So I want to encourage you, second lesson this morning from Tychicus, to love the brethren. When you pray for them, examine your own heart. Thank you for their preciousness to you. Think hard until you can find something to thank God about them for. Do it! Otherwise you'll be hardening your heart. And live in such a way that you, your ministry and its manner, makes you beloved of the church. Not to please men, but to honour Christ. He was a beloved brother. Thirdly, we read that he was a minister or a servant in the Lord. We'll be briefer on these as time is going by. He served. He had a commission. He had a charge. He had something to be carried out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Tychicus' case, we think it was that he was a minister of the word, that he served both Christ and the church, and indeed, thirdly, the gospel. But I certainly want to point out this morning that he was a servant. He's a brother. What a great thing to be a brother or a sister. He's beloved. What a great thing to be beloved of the brothers and sisters. Thirdly, he's a servant. And that's what we are as Christians. It's a good word to use, partly because we don't like it. Nobody wants to be a servant. When you write at the end of your school report, what do you want to be? You don't write down, I want to be the servant of all. We're more likely to write down, I want to be the master of all. And that's why it's a good word to remind us. We are slaves. Our ears have been pinned, as it were, to the doorpost of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're slaves to righteousness. And that's what marked out Tychicus. Not much is said about him. But he's a Christian who's loved, and he's somebody who, as a Christian, serves. He serves. And surely there are two things key to service. One is willingness, and the other is humility. Tychicus was evidently willing to be sent by the Apostle Paul here, there, and everywhere. How many times do you hear in your own voice you saying, who do they think they are? He says, they don't want to send me here, there, and everywhere. Well, it was that case with Tychicus, but he went. He had that humility that we've been looking at on Sunday evening, and he had a willingness to go and to serve. I want to encourage you and myself this morning to improve your serve. Mike Stringer ends his ministry at OB next Saturday. He came and did a weekend for us at Stapleford some years ago called Improve Your Serve, said Mike, as he would, that lovely Birmingham accent. Improve your serve. And we looked at what it was to be those who serve. The Lord Jesus Christ came and said, I stand amongst you as one who serves. Came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I want to encourage you this morning to serve. To serve in an area of the church. We're not to be mere pew fillers or seat warmers. There are those in the congregation who are spectators, they just seem to watch. There are those who are commentators, they just seem to commentate. And then there are those who participate. And those are they who serve in the life of the church. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. Isn't that what the old hymn used to say? 'Tis a work the Master just for you has planned. Haste to do him bidding, his bidding. Yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. What a great joy to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. I picture in the Old Testament when the walls are being built in Nehemiah's day, and we read of all those names there in the book of Nehemiah, and they're working alongside, they're serving alongside, they're serving alongside. And that's what the church should be like. The beloved brethren serving alongside one another. Can I ask you this morning, have you grasped that that is what you are as a Christian, you're a servant? Are you clear? Whom are you serving? How are you serving? I want to encourage you this morning to humble yourself and willingly serve. And those of you who serve greatly, to be encouraged that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. He was a servant in the Lord. New terms about to begin. Your servants in the Lord. May God bless you and encourage you in your service this coming term. Fourthly, as a servant, he was a faithful servant, a faithful minister. As one who spoke God's word, that means he must have been faithful to the apostles' teaching, faithful to what God has said. You couldn't budge him from the truth. Now, what do you say about our own service? Lord, I serve, but I want to serve faithfully. I want to serve faithfully. And that means I want to be faithful to you and to your word. I want to be true to you and your word. But I also want to be faithful and reliable to others in the church, in my commitments. I want to be faithful, Lord. I'm prone not to be very faithful. I'm not very good at taking on responsibility. I shirk it at every turn because that's what human nature does. But Lord, here's my area of service. I don't just want to be on a list where my name's ticked because I'm serving. I want to be faithful. Lord, I want to serve in such a way that at the end of life you say, well done, you good and faithful servant. Help me to serve faithfully, in tune with you and your word. But I want to be reliable to the people I serve with and the people I serve to. And Lord, I'm unreliable. Of all the other things that have been said about Tychicus, yeah, and they could have been said about me, but... Lord, this is my first big doubt this morning. I'm not sure I serve very faithfully. Will you help me? Will you help me to see my service as you see it, and to do it in a manner which is pleasing to you, helpful to the team members I serve with and helpful to those that we're serving. Lord, I want to be faithful. The fifth, last and briefest thing about Tychicus is that he's elsewhere described as a fellow servant. I just wanted to add that on this morning to what's said about him here in Ephesians. He worked alongside. He was one of the family. He wasn't an isolated individual paddling his own canoe, as happens so often today in church life. He's one of the group, one of the team. He's being sent as a parakletos to go alongside others. And that's where we have our corners knocked off so often, isn't it? Not only when the word of God is preached to us, but when we work with our brothers and sisters as fellow servants, it sanctifies us no end, and probably them, we have all our corners knocked off as we work alongside. And I want to encourage you this morning to see yourself as fellow servants, working alongside as they did in Nehemiah's day. I want you to enter and embrace that life of service in the family. That's our main point this morning, the description of who Tychicus was. And to compare it with how we might be described and say, Lord, where we fall short, Lord, we seek your forgiveness, but we seek your help and your grace to make up that deficiency. Secondly and thirdly, and much more briefly in a sense to close, what did he do? Well, he simply told them. He was sent by Paul to tell them information about Paul. What did he do? He was a messenger. We read in these two verses, he went to them to make all things known to them. What all things? Well, Paul says, my affairs and how I'm doing. He simply went from Paul to them to tell them about Paul's welfare and his circumstances. That's all he did. But that in the context of Paul's request for prayer. Paul wanted them to know about his welfare and his circumstances so they could pray intelligently for him. Simple as that. That's what he did. And the second thing he did was to comfort or to strengthen or to encourage their hearts. That's why he was sent. He's coming to you with a purpose that he might encourage, comfort, establish, strengthen your hearts. Those are the two things that he did. I'm bringing information about Paul's welfare, how he is, and his circumstances, what he's doing. And I'm coming to comfort your hearts. Which leaves us lastly this morning with why. Why was he doing that? Why was he being sent again at the beck and call of the Apostle Paul to do this, and this time to Ephesus? Well, as we close, firstly, because Tychicus was one of the many unsung heroes of the Bible. Brian Edwards has just written a book, hasn't he? Not a little book, a book about little people in the Bible. All those that Paul mentions at the end of his letters. You can get it in the Day One series, I believe. Tychicus is one of those people. An unsung hero of the Bible. A little known person, but who was involved and serving. What about you? There are many such little known people. I mean, let's be honest. We can't name many of the members at Oadby, but we wrongly call it Mike Stringer's church. Well, it's not Mike Stringer's church, as he'd be the first to say, but there's many little-known people at Oadby, and they're serving, like Tychicus was serving. They're part of the new humanity. They're in the family. They're little-known but valued and valuing. They're serving faithful alongside others. And that's what we should enjoy doing and enjoy being. Little known people whose names are never up in lights or even on the notice board. But what a great thing to be in the family, in the humanity. Remember John MacArthur preaching years ago on the procession which Paul speaks about in 2 Corinthians, and Paul says that we've been put on at the end as a spectacle. And really the purpose of John MacArthur's message was, it's enough to be in the procession. It's enough to be in the procession. It's enough, isn't it, to be in the family this morning. It's everything. And to be serving and to be valued and to know the forgiveness of sins. All out for God, unashamed. Lots of little known people all over the world this morning. All out for God, unashamed. Be part of that group. Be part of that group. Why did he do this? Secondly, because the establishment of the new humanity dictates the importance of fellowship and greetings and encouragement. The last little bit of Paul's letters aren't just an afterthought and are unimportant. No, they're not. They're a demonstration of all that he has been saying. And because God has raised up this new humanity in the Lord Jesus Christ, that dictates that there is love shared, that there is fellowship, that there is encouragement given. It's no mere theological theory. It's to be lived out. And here in one way we see that even here, Paul and Tychicus are deepening their fellowship with the Ephesians through prayer, through correspondence, through visits and information. That's what they do. I want you to pray. I'm sending someone to you as a visit and I'm giving you correspondence and information. They needed to know information as fuel for prayer. And that's what we do. Why does Ishvan and Jason and Andy send us information? Is it just because that's what missionaries do? That's what pastors do? No. This is a sign and expression of our fellowship together in the Lord Jesus, which is to deepen. And so they send us information and we use it to pray. And a sense of fellowship is greatly strengthened in prayer when we receive personal news. And it's part of the life that we communicate and love one another and demonstrate that love in these simple terms. And the third reason that the man Tychicus goes is to encourage them. He goes to encourage his believers because the new humanity dictates that we need to encourage one another. It's seen endlessly in the New Testament. The words that are used both in Old and New are that believers strengthen one another, fortify one another. It refers to those people who are knowing their hearts being disheartened. And that abounds today, doesn't it? Discouragement abounds today in the world and even in the church. There's a famine of encouragement. And so in the new humanity, we all have the responsibility to encourage one another. To get alongside one another, the word means to bring courage and strength and support. In the new humanity, there are many discouraged men and women this morning, and we're to encourage them. Just as Tychicus was going to do here to the Ephesians, and that encouragement is in this, that we're to encourage one another to have confidence in God and to trust in his promises, so that we can boldly live out our faith and be effective in fulfilling our ministries. Encourage one another. You know, if you're able to stay today for the meal, then go and encourage someone. You've no idea who the most disheartened or discouraged individual in this building is this morning. They might be sat opposite or next to you. Encourage them. Encourage them with your words this lunchtime to have confidence in God, to trust in his promises, so that they can be bold in living out their faith and be effective in their ministry. See, the church thrives on encouragement. And that's why this man Tychicus goes. To deepen their sense of fellowship by giving them fuel for their prayers, information about Paul, and to strengthen their hearts. Well, we said we were to learn the lessons from Tychicus this morning. The man and what he is like, that lovely description. And him being involved in deepening fellowship within the new humanity by being a messenger service, taking information for prayer and encouraging their hearts. And the lessons for you and me are this. Be in the family. Trust Christ this morning. Trust God. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You call upon him, he will save you. You will not regret trusting the Lord your God. The first importance is being in the family, and if we are, of relishing that. May it be said of us that we are beloved brethren, beloved brothers and sisters. Servants, not sitters. Faithful in all that we do, co-workers together, even though we're just a little person in the family, demonstrating fellowship and encouragement as a practical demonstration of our love to our brothers and to our sisters. that must so please him who loved us and gave himself for us. So let's live together to please him, learning the lessons of Tychicus.